following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
It is the draft show here at the Star in Frisco. Brian Broaddus manning the mic one more time. How about that? Can't get rid of me. I'm like gum on your shoe.
Mm-hmm. They brought you back.
It brought me back. It's like the movie The Godfather, right?
I haven't seen it.
I've never seen The Godfather.
It's Godfather 3.
Every time, every time I try and get out, they
pull me back in. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the 1991. That's the one that's not very good.
Noted. You need to see The Godfather.
I've been on like a big mob movie kick recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I've had like three conversations about The Godfather in the last week. So I do need to watch
Need to watch.
So the three's not worth it, though?
I mean, it's stupid. It came around like 16 years later. I don't know. Like Mario Puzo needed a buck or something. And so they made a third movie and it was a waste of time. And it had Sofia Coppola in it and she couldn't act.
No.
So. Well, here's not a waste of time for you. We're going to talk some draft today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some draft. We're inside a week. Well, it's actually draft week.
Yes.
So I'll introduce my scouts here. Nick Harris, Bobby Belt, Aisha Morrison, Chris Beamer in the back. I want to go around the room, and here we are really days away. We're starting to count down the hours. I want to go around the room and just give me one thought about it. It doesn't have to be about a player. Doesn't have to. Maybe it's something you're hearing. Maybe it's something that, you know, you're feeling about this draft. Give me one thought, Nick Harris, that you're kind of right now feeling about as we get this started this week.
Yeah, I'm wondering when the trades will start firing off, you know, away from the Cowboys pick. There's a certain level of expectation that I think we could all have for the Cowboys trading back in the first round. I think if a certain crop of guys are not on the board at 24, then they start getting on the phones. But aside from that, when do the trades start firing off for whoever's going to hop into the top five to get J.J. McCarthy? Who's going to be that team that kind of slides back to be able to get a better position with a defensive player, but also pick up draft capital in that top 10? So it's Monday. You would have to think those things start firing off here in the next 48 hours, but it also could be on draft night. That's kind of the thought that I have coming into today. But as far as the Cowboys pick goes specifically, offensive line, obviously, I think for me, this is kind of where I'm leaning right now. If there are three guys that are not available at 24, then I think they parachute back. And I think those three guys are Troy Faltanu, J.C. Latham, and Graham Barton. I think if those three guys are not on the board, then they push back. But that's kind of my thought right now.
Aisha, you got a thought for me? Your second draft you've been a part of, done a hell of a job to get it to this point right now. Probably a little tired. We're all a little tired. Probably a little irritable. You got a thought for us on where you feel like where you are right now?
I think we talked about it on the draft 101 thing. I think everyone.
By the way, hell of a job by all you guys too on that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You too, Brian.
Thanks to the fans out there, Cam.
Lord, I just think.
I've learned to deal with that though. Aisha.
Bobby,
yeah.
Nah, like.
Yeah.
Bobby's good. I think that. I feel like a lot of us are kind of dead set on it being offensive line for this first round.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me because I like chaos.
Yeah.
But I just feel like maybe they might surprise us in how they handle that first round. Like, you know, we talked about obviously offensive line is a need. They've had success in getting offensive line in the first round and all those things. But I'm looking forward to seeing if they surprise us and maybe do some things that we don't expect. This is important, man. Like they haven't touched free agency really. They haven't done really anything in the offseason to, in my opinion, get better. This draft, they have to have some urgency that maybe we haven't seen from them in a while. And so I'm wondering, is Nick brings up trade backs and things like that. I'm wondering if they do have a little bit more urgency and do some things that we don't expect on day one.
Robert Belt.
Yeah, I'm going to be sweating all the way up to 24 trying to see if Graham Barton's going to come down or not.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, honestly, that's all I consider, because I've just, I know there's a good possibility he's not there, and yet I'm sitting here just trying to conceptualize reality where he's not there, and it's really tough to then figure out where they go from there at center. And so for me, it's, even though I know there are other guys there that, that make some sense, like you just mentioned Troy Fatanu, JC Latham, if he gets down there, you know, we've talked about Kingsley Sewell, Montaia, like you got these different guys here that you can talk about. To me, it's like, yeah. And even if you like those guys and those are good players and you have them graded where you are, it's still just as when that pick happens, if it's somebody other than Barton, I'm going to be sitting there going like, in my head, I'm going to be thinking, what the hell are they doing at center next year? Like that's kind of going to be where my head's at. So I think that, you know, it can even make sense that a guy like Fatanu, I'd probably take him over Graham Barton sitting there. But even taking him, I'd be sitting there thinking, I don't know what's going to happen at center next year. I don't know how this is going to look. And that to me is just the biggest question heading into this draft, is what's going to happen at center. And so for me, I think it's going to be just watching the board fall and see if he's even there for you at 24.
If you guys were sitting in that war room and all of your thoughts are percolating, do you feel like that they have a handle on your issues right now, the things that you guys are thinking about? Do you think they have a handle on how the board's going to fall? Or is this for the first time in a long time, there's that chaos that we don't know? Do you feel like that they, I feel like they're going, of course they're going to get a handle. But right now I wonder if they do have that handle.
Like how predictable they think the first 23
sure,
picks go.
Sure.
I think teams usually have a better beat on how things are going to fall ahead of them than we realize. But I mean, it's certainly happened before. The Cowboys openly acknowledged when they picked CeeDee Lamb, like, we had every mock draft scenario we ran, he didn't get down there.
That scares me a little
things
bit.
Things can happen in front of them and can be unpredictable, but I think they probably know where their landmines are, where they know, like, hey, if we like this guy, we got to watch out here. If we like this guy, we got to watch out here. And I think they know what's probable and what they're looking at. Yeah, I think that they've got a handle on that.
I agree with all those points. But with that being said, kind of hearing all the smoke from the insiders and people that know a lot more than us, like the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world.
I don't know if they know more than us, but yeah.
But I would say that just kind of hearing from what they have been communicating over the last week, scouts are fearing how wild this is going to get on Thursday night.
Yes.
You know, there's an element of unknown that has been kind of more prevalent this year than in any other draft. And the trades kind of play into that. That was kind of part of my first answer as well. You know, when does that start firing off, and when does the board kind of shaking up with different teams in different slots? I think, you know, you really won't know what the board will exactly look like until probably pick 12 is off the board. And then you can kind of have a level of expectation until 24, but up until 12, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen.
Why do you embrace the chaos?
I don't know if I embrace it, because y'all know I got anxiety, but at the same time, I just think Nick brings up a good point of just how top heavy this draft is in some positions, and then obviously a lot of the teams that need quarterback and just how that's going to fall. I mean, I was surprised that you answered the way that you answered though, Bobby, as far as like Brian asking, do you think that they have a good beat on things? I interpreted that as, do you think that they feel the same way about center as you do? That's how I interpreted it.
Fair.
So you're talking about Graham Barton early. I thought that was where, because I don't know all the info, but I do think that there is some confidence in Brock Hoffman.
Sure.
And so I wonder, I don't think it's enough. Personally, like, we don't think it's enough to be like, oh, no, we can grab a center later. But what if they really do feel like that from the inside?
No, I think that they absolutely would operate with Brock Hoffman at center because they need contingencies in place.
Checking.
I don't think that's anywhere near their optimal plan. If you gave them a number of different options as to here's how the offseason can play out, here's how the draft can play out, here's how your lineup can look, I don't think their preference would be that's your starting center next year. Mm-hmm. Again, I think they've got contingencies in place. Chuma Edoga last year was a contingency. It's somebody in place that can start if you need him to, but that was not what they desired necessarily. That wasn't their primary option. It was just one that, like, hey, if we need to do this, we can. And so I think that the question for me is going to be, if it's not Barton, if it's not Jackson Powers Johnson, then do they like Hoffman as an option more than they like Frazier as an option?
Sure.
Do they like Hoffman more than they like Van Pran as an option? Like, are they looking at it that way? Or do they get all the way down to, like, if Hunter Norzad goes in the, you know, whatever it is, sometime day three or whatever else, however early he goes, depending on how teams like him. Like, would they be willing to have a center they take on day three that they think, no, this is still a better option to us? That's what yeah. I don't have a lot of clarity about. I think they would absolutely take Graham Barton and start him at center next year if he was there at 24. Yep. It's just a matter of, you know, what are their contingencies behind it? How does Brock Hoffman fit into that?
Yeah, and for me, it falls back into kind of the tune I've been singing since we started this is we, with how season long these seasons are getting, there is so much value in having backup offensive linemen that right. you really think can go get it and aren't going to drastically change what you do offensively if you need to do it. Because we saw, like, it came down to the wire as far as the division goes, and one or two games that you yeah. dropped because your offensive line play wasn't great or the coach got a little because the offensive line wasn't in place. I think that matters. So Brock Hoffman falls into that category to me with the TJ Basses and things like that of, like, these are adequate backups that we've kind of seen be able to do some good things. I don't know if that means that they're just ready to go out there and start when you can get, you know, a guy that can come in there and make a difference right away in this draft.
See, I do think that they believe TJ Bass could start.
I yes. believe he can start as well.
I think there's a lot more confidence in Bass right now at guard than – now, I don't know, is there – a lot more confidence in the idea of Bass starting at center over, you know, Hoffman at center. I don't know. But in terms of just talking about Bass playing guard, Hoffman playing center, I think this organization has a lot more confidence today, right now on April 22nd, in the idea of Bass starting at left guard than they would in Hoffman.
How do you feel about that? How would you guys – do you guys think that TJ Bass is capable of playing center?
We just got to see it. We haven't really seen it. The only times we've seen it is in practice reps. We saw it a little bit in training camp reps, but you got to see it. That's it.
For me. Kind of felt that way about Barton playing center,
right?
Coming out of, you know, watching Duke, I'm like, I've yeah. seen him play tackle, but you know,
you've seen what he did freshman year, though.
No, you go back and you
there's
can
at
find,
least context,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
I think with TJ Bass, I mean, he's the guard of the future. I think he's the guard of the future, yeah. And he's probably going to be Zach Martin's eventual replacement
right.
if he doesn't slide into left guard this next yeah. season, or if so, still. But I think you just kind of need to see what he's going to do at center for me to be able to buy in completely. But I think as it sits today, there's a training camp competition lined up at center between Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass, and then whatever draft pick comes in.
Yeah. I'm so excited for a center competition. Aren't you guys? We yeah.
haven't had one
on this team in a minute, and that was weird, too. The lack of competition there. I mean, it was Tyler Biotis' job just because he was existing.
Yeah. Nick, I got a question for you.
Throw it at me.
Quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback. Which run is going to go first?
Okay, are we going like outside the top five here, I would assume?
Yeah.
Okay, so like outside those top three quarterbacks and a couple of those receivers going. Let's see. Let's just take a look at my mock. I'm going to stick to this. I would probably lean more towards – I've just been feeling that these corners are going to come off. I really do. I got Quinyon Mitchell coming off at 12, Terrion Arnold at 13, Nate Wiggins at 15.
Do you have Mitchell above, or did you just do it because of the mock?
I have Mitchell above as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that,
okay.
that as well. I have Mitchell as my number one corner.
Okay.
I love what he brings to the table from an aggressive standpoint, press off the line, being able to mirror routes. I love what he does and what he did at Toledo, those four interceptions in a game. I'm going to bring that up a million times before the end of the
Northern
show.
Northern Illinois.
I'm leaning towards the corners. Now, could the receivers happen? Absolutely. Could the offensive line happen? I think so, absolutely, as well. You got Joe Alton, Taliese Fuaga, and my mock that are going before Mitchell. But I think teams start looking up at pick 12, and Denver's going to be looking to parachute back probably, I think, if they don't go up and get McCarthy. And someone's going to hop up to 12, I think, and get a corner. That's kind of what I'm thinking, and it starts the run.
Bobby, listening to – oh, go ahead, Aisha.
I was going to ask, why do you – oh, no, your host. My bad.
No, go ahead. What
okay,
do you got?
I was going to ask, why do you think there's going to be a run on corner?
Yeah. When,
with corner, again, with how deep corner is.
Right.
Because yeah, these guys are the top guys, but when you get into the second round, you find good things in a lot of even the second round guys. Yeah. So why do you think that they will go get corner?
Yeah, you look at those names at the top and you see them slip into 12, and I think that's probably where they go and be aggressive. This is just a guess here, complete guess. This board can fall a million different ways, but I think when they look at 12 and Quinyon Mitchell and Terry and Arnold are still on the board, people start getting on the phones because those are too good of talents to not go in the top 10.
Bobby, Nick thinks the draft is going to start at 12. You there with him?
I don't know. I mean, look, the way the...
Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's probably about probably 11.
I've heard it
11.
Twice. Yeah, I've heard it twice.
Yeah, look, I mean, the way all these stories are starting to come out about Jaden Daniels is not sure of his... wants to know what options he might have other than the Commanders at number two. Like, I mean, that could kind of throw a monkey wrench into things. Obviously, who comes up and gets either the Arizona pick or the Chargers pick, which is what we assume. It may not happen, but if, you know, who the Vikings are assumed to want to come up and get a quarterback or something like that. So, I mean, there's some fluidity in the top 10, but I mean, yeah, right around 11, somewhere in there, especially since that's the Vikings pick. Like, whoever trades down there, how things shift, I mean, I think you'll start seeing some wild stuff happen there. But I mean, in terms of the run,
yeah, I was gonna ask you, where you think the run's going?
Offensive line, like to me, because there are so many good offensive linemen at the top. But it's like once you get past like a collection of 8 to 10 guys, it drops in the quality pretty quickly. So I think like teams are going to just be like, got to get one of these 8 to 10. If we want an offensive lineman, let's do this now. Like we need to get. So I think Alt, Fashanu, Latham, Fuaga, Suamataia, Mims, got like you start going down the list. I think that by the time we get out of the top 50 picks, most of those are going to be gone.
Aisha, though, offensive line run bad for Cowboys, right?
I mean, yeah, but the way that we've talked about it is like even if there is a run, there's a possibility that you mentioned. I think that somebody's going to be there that they're interested, that sure. They have some interest in if it falls correctly, especially if it doesn't start till 12.
Right.
And especially if they don't start boogieing till 12. So, I mean, I think I think it could be harmful, but then also, too, you've brought up multiple times that the best player on the board might be a defensive player point. If that happens and people just like, I want all the offensive linemen.
Nick, will everybody go nuts if they pick a defensive player at 24?
I don't think everybody would go super nuts, but there'd be some questions, especially if it's like Byron Murphy that plays at 3 tech or if they parachute back to like 30 and take Edgerrin Cooper or Peyton Wilson in that sense, then I think there would definitely be some questions that would have to be answered that night one press conference.
If you back up to 30, Bobby, linebacker or maybe Frazier at center? I mean, that's how I would look at it. If you backed up to 30, you know, we went through all the, and you guys did a great job the other day when we went to the trade back scenarios we've all determined that we want Kansas City to call right now is who we would like. But Bobby, if you were to trade back, is it still one of those offensive tackles? Is it the center now? Or could the best player on the board be a defensive player?
Yeah, I mean, man, if you pick up the extra draft capital, then I don't have a problem if you go back and say, we're going to take Cooper here at Texas A&M. I don't have a problem if that's what you do. Depending on how much capital you pick up, say, what can I get? Because, I mean, I think this is a relatively deep draft at other spots that they need. And so if they pick up extra capital and say, hey, we can get, you know, Cooper here, because I think that that's a bigger ask to expect that he's going to make it to you in the second round or to be there later than some of these centers that you might like that could get to you in the second or third round. I don't know if Frazier gets there in the second round. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, like, you are going to have other options there like Norzad and Van Pran and guys like that I think
– with the extra pick.
Yeah, with the extra pick. Okay. That then, like, you're still addressing some of the other things that you need to do. So I don't have a problem if they take Cooper back there. I would feel like going back to 30 and taking Frazier, at least just for me – would be a little bit of a reach compared to where I have other centers. Like he would be the third one, but there's enough clustered around it. Whereas with Cooper, like right behind him, you're talking about like Peyton Wilson, who's a really good player, but there's obviously a ton of questions medically. And then after that, there's a significant drop. I don't love the linebacker class. So if you can get Cooper, I think you can get away with center, third round, something like that.
Yeah. Aisha, you want to follow up with anything on that?
Mm-mm.
All right.
I'm sorry. No, I was just listening.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing about my mock about going back to the runs, I just kind of counted before pick 24. Mm-hmm. Six offensive linemen coming off the board and three corners, but I just have those three corners coming off a little bit quicker. But I still expect there to be a run on offensive linemen. I still do before 24. And that's, man, we're going to be sitting around pick 18, pick 19 on Thursday night, just praying that there's not another tackle that comes off the board or another center that comes off the board.
All right. With that being said, though, on the potential run, how willing are you all, before we go to break, how willing are you guys to just sit there and let it happen?
Yeah, and not trade up. Yeah, that's where it gets interesting, because you don't have a ton of draft capital this year. You probably don't want to sacrifice some next year, even though you are expecting comp picks next year. It just depends what kind of assets you're willing to give up.
I don't think you can do it.
I don't think you can either.
They've made a conscious decision to
Barton
address the depth through the even Barton without
Barton at 19.
It sucks. It's a reality of the draft. That sucks. And but I mean, to me, it's like you've made a conscious decision to replenish your depth through this draft, and that's without a fourth round pick. You can't give up anymore.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, I just think they don't have. Like I said before, they haven't done anything. This is their moneymaker right now. So they need to go in there with the mindset that they have to get better. So however they decide to do that, you're saying you don't think that they should ransom any picks for next year or anything like that?
No. Like, I mean, I think like the
that's a good question.
Extra capital that they have being in the like fifth round, I don't think that's going to be enough that somebody will be like, yeah, I'll take a fifth rounder next year to let you move up five spots in the first round.
That sucks.
So you don't have the capital it would take to move up using next year's stuff. Like you're going to start depleting again the top. It's a little bit of you're chasing your tail after that. To me, it's I'd much rather either stand in and pick or move back and try to pick up something else. To me, like, it really doesn't matter who it is. Trading up is not something I would want to do.
So we're a team now of, like, we're interested if we don't have our guy, blow the hatches and go and die for the bottom, right?
Yep.
Okay. Man.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. You know, that's tough because, to me, I just think there's so much – I think there's a lot of unknown there, you know? And then if you're not willing, like you say, you seem like we're – I don't know – kind of willing, oh, we won't take Frazier, might be a reach. I don't look at it really that way myself.
Oh, that's just that's just on my board. They may not view it that way. And if they evaluated Zach Frazier as being somebody that they felt comfortable with taking at 30, like, I'm gonna assume they've got him more right than I do, because they've got a track record of having guys more right than I
have. You're right. And I just, like I said, I know he doesn't get to you at 56. I know that for a fact. So anyway. All right. We're going to take a first break. And when we come back, we're going to get to your Twitter questions. And then after that, though, I got some more questions for my scout buddies here. We'll do that all next.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus, at Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Come out to the Star in Frisco for the Dallas Cowboys Draft Weekend presented by Miller Lite. The party starts on Thursday, April 25th at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy live draft coverage, player appearances, live performances, and more. On Friday, come back for the draft night out with alumni, Dallas Cowboys cheerleader appearances at the Miller Lighthouse, then finish strong on Saturday with the Draft Day 5K presented by Baylor Scott & White Health. For more details, visit DallasCowboys.com/draft. And the draft show is presented by Miller Lite. It is a taste you can depend on. And also this segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Okay.
We all running that 5K on Saturday when we get done?
You know what? I thought about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought about it. Just like show up and you're like, you know, like Rich Eisen does with Run Rich. Yeah. Show up in like your draft day shirt and all that, you know, and kind of give it, you know, the khakis out there, giving it a go. I think I could maybe make it, maybe a 5K.
I'll make it a 1K.
I can make it. Yeah. I think so.
A 1K?
Yeah, I'll make a 1K.
Get away from me, man.
All right. It's time for one of our favorite segments of
Twitter on the 20.
Thanks, Beamer. Appreciate that. Okay, guys. First question comes from on Twitter is from Let's Talk Ball. Let's Talk Ball says, say your team is definitely picking one of either Peyton Wilson or Jonathan Brooks in the second round. Which one do you want and why? Nick, I'll go to you first on that
go
one.
Nick, go
yeah,
Nick.
So on my board, I'm going to stick to it. I would take Peyton Wilson just based on what he brings to the table.
Like this.
I think he – the medical concerns are there, yes. And from what we've heard, it's not – you know, there's not anything that makes you feel great about where he is medically, but you can look at the past two seasons, him staying healthy these last two seasons for the Wolfpack, what he was able to do on the field, what he was able to test at the combine. You see all that athleticism, what he can do. I want him in that second level flying around the field. I think you could still get a really good running back in the third round that you can throw in and into the RB1 conversation next year. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're looking at the linebacker position after Edgerrin Cooper and Peyton Wilson, there's a little bit of a drop off there, in my opinion. Well, after Junior Colson as well, there's a little bit of a drop off there, and you'd have to be comfortable taking a guy there in the third round or on day three that you feel like could compete. I feel like Peyton Wilson would be more of an immediate contributor in that sense, but I think you can get a running back there in the third round as well. It'd be tough for me to pass on Jonathan Brooks, so I love Jay Brooks.
Aisha.
Well, Sean, I was looking for Bobby. I want to bounce off Bobby. Bobby, what you got?
You know, Brooks, and it's nothing to do with Texas. It's got everything
yeah,
to do
Bobby
with
admit
it's,
that.
No. It has nothing to do with the Texas stuff. It has everything to do with, you know, we have Dame Brugler on here. Dame Brugler from his draft guy talking about double digit surgery since senior year of high school, and it's not just, well, it's this one knee going problem. No, it's both knees. It's a shoulder. It's this. It's that. It's he's already 24 years old. He's a really good player. To me, again, we're talking about the margins are so thin in terms of making sure your depth is set for this next year and what you have moving forward. We saw just what an unexpected injury in DeMarvion Overshown did last year at linebacker for the Cowboys. And there's a little bit of an expectation, I would think, with Peyton Wilson of like he's going to get hurt at some point. Yeah. And even if he stayed healthy for 2 years, something will happen at some point. And I don't know that they can have their depth challenged on that. With Brooks, there's nothing long term about Brooks's health. Everything you hear is that he is salt of the earth, high character, high football character kind of guy. And to me, he's the best running back in the draft. So to me, it's not very difficult because I think as you're trying to minimize risk and you know, build the best possible team you can, to me, Brooks is higher on my stack to begin with. And then the risk is so much less with Brooks compared to Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as far as Brooks goes, yeah, he's the safer pick. Yeah, for sure. He's the safer pick as far as, you know, you talk about the injury history and all that stuff, but I struggle. But I 100%, I can't wait to be able to hear some of these conversations in these war rooms after it's all said and done with the conversations of Peyton Wilson. And I think for this team in particular, you need a Mike Like, you need a mic, even if it's of the future. And this is, to me, the best mic in this draft. Maybe one of the best mics we've seen in a minute, and how he communicates, how he processes. And I think Nick brings up a good point of what he showed at the Senior Bowl, what he's been this last couple years. I can't imagine. I wonder, has anybody asked him what he puts into his body, how much work he's put into his body to even be able to stay healthy that last couple years? I mean, yeah, Peyton Wilson is a star, I think. And so it is hard in that regard. But I think Jonathan Brooks is a safe pick as we sit here right now and Shefty post that Brooks is connected to the team. Yeah, no, we know that right now.
Yeah. That's why you watch the draft show.
Right.
I'm standing at that table with those dice in my hand, Nick.
Yeah.
Aisha, I'm standing there.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Peyton Wilson?
Yes.
That serious to me. It's hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm standing there, and I'm looking at your guys putting your chips where they need to be.
Yeah.
Because we're about to let these dice
look,
fly.
Look, man, I will it's be shedding a one. Tear. I will be shedding a tear while those dice are flying because I love Jay Brooks. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Who do you have ahead of Peyton Wilson?
No, I'm said Brooks is.
He said Brooks.
I have Brooks as graded.
Bobby's betting on me. Snake.
No, look, here's the thing. I think again, when you watch, they've made certain. Now, look, they've got a long history of taking red flag players, medically red flagged players in the second round. They've got a long history of taking medical flagged linebackers. Bruce Carter, Sean Lee, Jalen Smith, Damone Clark most recently, Leighton Vander Esch. Like, they've done it consistently. So they're not afraid to do it. But I do think that, like, we got to put into the context here as well that they said – We need more reliability, so we are willing to walk away from Hall of Fame left tackle and put ourselves in a position to where we're kind of in need walking into the draft. So if they were that concerned about reliability on that front and affordability, I don't know why they would want to put themselves in that position at linebacker again after they've clearly made some stuff of like, hey, we need more availability. We need to know who's going to be consistently available. And that's just never been Peyton Wilson in his entire college career. But he's really good. He's a fun player. If you told me he'll be healthy for 10 years, Brian, I'll sure go run it up there.
I'm channeling my
Jeremiah Trotter.
Yeah. I'm channeling it. Yes, and there's some fate here with his son in the draft. There's some. Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Some of that confidence though comes from like. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but to your point, I don't say.
Welcome to the draft show.
But Bobby brings up the fact that. They might be more hesitant because of the recent history, and then also too, you know, they've seen what it's like to get a second round player, do their surgery, do all their medical and all this stuff, and then they're not on this team or they're injured often. So I wonder though if there is some arrogance there about what they're capable of doing in this building, especially from a medical standpoint. And their team doctors being as good as they are, and all that stuff.
I don't think it's arrogance.
I don't know.
I think it's where they're comfortable taking calculated risk, and they typically have said like, we'll bank on talent versus the risk. Like if we're there in the second round, a lot of times in the first round they're banking on projections, raw talent, whatever else. But I mean, there haven't been like a whole lot of. You know, medical concern or, you know, character flag players that they've taken in the first round. They generally are more just making an evaluation, picking the player and going with it there. Vander Esch was obviously a first round pick and there were questions there. But I think that what they've shown is they believe that the second round is an area where they're willing to roll the dice and take some risks on the opportunity to potentially have two players that they think are first round worthy. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. We'll do that in the second round. We'll take that risk there. They're less willing to make the risk when there's probably a lot of other first round players around their pick. And so let's go with something a little safer. Whereas in the second round, it may be, well, that's the last guy who's a first round type of talent and nobody wants to touch him because of the medicals. We'll chance it. We're going to roll the dice on it. I don't think it's necessarily that they think they're more equipped than everybody else to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Good conversations. Mm. All right. Josh Weaver wants to know, and Nick, I'll start with you on this one if we could. We're speaking of linebackers. Can you give them some day three linebackers?
Day three.
Day three. That's get significant playing time this year that are drafted by the Cowboys.
Significant playing time. I'm going to start with that part of the question first, just because you would have to figure in how they get around DeMarvian Overshown, Damone Clark. and Kendricks, Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
But let's bite for a second. Some day three guys that they have been interested in throughout the process. You could look at Jordan McGee out of Temple. You could look at John Trey Hunter out of Georgia State. You could look at Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State. Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi State. I know those are four names really quick. Let me dive into those each individually really quick. Jordan McGee, more of a narrow guy that you would like to see play in space. He's good in coverage, but might need to bulk up a bit. Even though he is about 225, 227, he could add probably 10, 15 pounds to be able to be a run stopper if he wanted to, or he could stay at that weight and kind of roam in coverage there on third down. John Trey Hunter, actually very much of the same kind of skill set. I like McGee a little bit better than Hunter. Nathaniel Watson, that's the guy who's going to, you know, come downhill and be able to make those tackles in the run game. He almost did that exclusively for the Bulldogs last year. He was SEC Defensive Player of the Year last year. Curtis Jacobs, I think this is one of the more fun day three linebacker options. Just because he's versatile. He can do both of these things. I think he's still got a ton of upside that you can add to his game. This is a guy that I think a couple of years from now, if you have to move on from Kendricks after this season, I think this is a guy who could be ready to step in on day two. A couple of other names I want to throw out there: Tyrese Knight out of UTEP. I really love his athleticism.
That's what I was hoping you would mention.
Man, his athleticism is awesome, and to be able to bring a minor over from El Paso, that'd be super cool to have once again in the building. And then a last name I'll throw out, that he was really productive for Washington last year and was huge in their playoff run: Edifuan Ulofosio. I think he's a guy that can be more well-rounded as well. Ceiling probably not as high as Curtis Jacobs is, but I still like his upside.
Oh yeah, I wanted to comment on Curtis Jacobs. We had the pleasure of meeting him at the Shrine Bowl, but I want to say though, you're talking about, like, he hasn't really had a lot of injury issues or whatever, but this is an old man a little bit. Like, he's played a lot of football, which is a good thing. It's a good thing, but I also understand that there's tread on those tires as far as how much he's played in his collegiate career. What is it, like, sixth year? I think he played 5-6 years, if I'm not mistaken, from what he told us. But I think I agree with Nick that I do think that he would be a cool day one guy to be able to – day three guy to pick up and bring in here that can really develop into someone that can really be the quarterback back up there on the second level. But then also, too, he does come with some experience because he's played so much football.
Right. Right.
Hey, 45 games for a four-year guy, but 45 that's games.
Good insight right there.
Yes.
I mean, I do like the name John Trey Hunter. I think that that's a good one. I think that that's somebody who can, you know, he can play inside or outside. He's more well-built, I think, than a lot of the linebackers that we've seen this one. He's a brick. I think that when you watch the tape against LSU, like, you see him against big competition, you see him making a difference, and those are the kind of games that you really need to zero in on and feel like you're getting NFL-level competition or high-level competition preparing for the NFL. But the other name I'll mention here is Steel Chambers at Ohio State,
who's
a converted running back. And I think he's somebody who consistently feels like we've talked about, you know, with linebackers here over the last couple of years, that, you know, okay, what are their abilities to, you know, read and react? How good are their instincts? Things like that. That is the one area where he's really good. And I don't know if that comes from being a converted running back, but I mean, he really does seem to see it quickly and attack it and plays discipline. The biggest problem with him is he's light. He's like 225.
We're dealing
with
a lot of these guys in day three like that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Some lighter type players, though.
Yeah, he's light. He's gonna and it shows up. Yeah. There are times he has trouble getting off of blocks. He doesn't play with a lot of power. But I think, you know, if you get him here and you feel like, hey, we can fill out that frame a little bit, I think the instincts are fantastic. It's gonna be really hard, I think, to find anybody who can come in and start for you at linebacker this year on day three. But I do think that Steel Chambers is somebody that interests me as a project.
It's crazy that you bring him up, because I've talked about him on Girls Talk Boys Talk a couple times.
Yeah.
And I think, to your point with the instincts and being able to, if Steel Chambers doesn't do anything, he, to me, because he is a little lighter, he can be your special teams ace. I think he's a guy that can come onto your team, your special teams, and make a difference immediately as well, because of the instincts, because of the way he's able to read and react. And I do think he can develop and maybe put on a little bit more size, a little bit more weight, because he is a little light in the ass sometimes. But I do think he does show some of that decisiveness that you are looking for from a linebacker. But I personally think if a team gets a hold of him, he can really, really, really make your special teams better immediately with how he plays.
If I can mention, I don't know if you guys have seen this guy. I mean, there's a lot of linebackers to look at real quick. But J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame.
Right.
Okay, I'm just going to say a couple of things about him. He's 6'1", he's 235. He is one of the quickest readers of scheme that I've seen of these linebackers. There's been some good ones, but I think this guy, his ability to process information quickly and react to the play, he's got a quick trigger to way he plays. He's downhill. He's a good tackler. He can fill. He plays in space. The instincts. This might be a day three guy that I don't know if the Cowboys particularly like him, but I know watching him play pre-snap, letting his teammates know where what's about to happen, the fundamentals. Maybe he doesn't have the greatest athletic ability, and the lack of length might hurt him some in the NFL. But, man, he made it work for this Irish defense and the way he played. So keep an eye on a guy, J.D. Bertrand, from Notre Dame.
I haven't seen him yet, but looking at his combine photo here, he's got a first-round graded jawline. He looks like a superhero.
He's a square-built guy for sure. Okay, our final question for you guys on Twitter on the 20. Would any of you guys be surprised if Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois, would be the pick at 24? That's coming from Raul.
Yeah, that would surprise me. It would be fun, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it would surprise me. It's kind of the same reason we talked about why Byron Murphy would be a little bit of a surprise. I feel like Johnny Newton would be even more of a surprise, only because, you know, he was a guy that they really haven't done a ton of homework on over the course of the draft process, didn't have a formal with him at the combine, didn't bring him in for a 30. So I think to pull the trigger on him at 24 would definitely be interesting. I think I have him going 27 in my mock, 26. Mm-hmm. To the Buccaneers, so he could be right in that range, but man, he is fun. He'd be violent pass rusher. He's a guy that I think he can line up inside, outside. He moves like he's 250, but he's not. He's fun.
You're funny because I literally, as soon as you said the Bucs, I pictured him in a Bucs jersey, and it looks right.
Yeah,
in my
him
mind.
Going back home to Florida, that'd be fun.
No, it looks right in my mind. I agree. I guess I would be surprised, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did we have him from any type of did the Cowboys have a 30 visit with what was the offensive lineman that they were going back and forth with Mozzie about?
Bergeron.
Did they have a 30 visit with him?
I don't recall.
I'd have to look that up real quick here.
No, I don't believe if I'm remembering correctly, mm-hmm. we didn't think about him until the week of.
Right.
Like we had talked about it. We had talked about him as a player, but they hadn't really.
All of a sudden, he's showing up as a player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He wasn't publicly like. Did he have a 30 visit?
No, that I don't remember. But I know they met with him at the combine and stuff, but
just what came to mind.
Yeah, the bigger thing with that is just the. On Bergeron, like that filled something that they needed. And this year, it feels like you've got even more challenging depth issues. And that's one area where it's like, well, your starter's in place. Like, mm-hmm. you've got a three technique. So I would be surprised if it was any three technique with that first, but if it was Byron Murphy, if it was Johnny Newton, I would be really surprised if they picked a three technique defensive tackle in the first 2 days.
All right. Well, appreciate all the questions there on Twitter on the 20. Thanks to you for guys out there for making the time for that. Okay. When we come back, it'll be the final segment of the day for the draft show. I've got some more questions I want to ask my scouts, and we'll do that next.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered.
What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
All right, hey, I'm going to try and sell you on some tacos and tunes. How about that? Head to the Miller Lite House at AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys Tacos and Tunes Festival, presented by Miller Lite on Saturday, May 4th, from 3 to 7 p.m. Enjoy a variety of tacos from the regions across Mexico and food truck fare while you sip on cold drinks and listen to live music. Admission and parking are free. Visit attstadium.com/tacosandtunes for more info. See you there. Hey, we still selling our draft guide? We still putting that
yes,
out?
Yes, we are.
Still
absolutely.
Putting
that
out? Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure that we're doing part of that. How do we do this, Nick? Do you have a plan for this? Do we go on DallasCowboys.com?
Yeah, go on DallasCowboys.com. There on the front page, you should be able to scroll through that little centerpiece, and you'll be able to find a place where you can buy it. It says big in big letters, buy now. So go buy it now. $10. You'll have it on your doorstep by draft day, and you'll be the smartest guy in the room.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much for all that. All right. As we finish off this final segment of the day, Bobby, I want to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Your second round graded player who you wouldn't be surprised ends up getting taken in the first or maybe higher. If you look at your board, who's the one second round player?
I just know somebody I have graded in the third round will go second overall.
Talk
so
about it.
There's that. So I'm going to adjust a little bit.
Does he hate the LSU quarterback that much?
It's Drake May, I think.
No, it's Jane Daniels.
He hates Daniels. Okay, okay. Yeah.
It's poor man's Lamar Jackson. I'll pass. I think that you know the guy that
you don't study tape.
We talked about it. Like, calm down, LSU.
Okay, Brooks over the really good linebacker.
Y'all mean it.
All right. Well, look, I look at it.
Second
and I
round
say,
guy, yeah. Second round
Cooper,
guy.
Edgerrin Cooper. I think Edgerrin Cooper is a guy who very easily could end up back into the first round. And obviously, maybe even higher than
the back of the second round, or
no, back into the first round. Like he's a guy that I have in the second that I think could, because I think there's teams that probably have him as the top linebacker and are willing to say, hey, if we have a need here, we're going to. If you look at like when we get to the conference championship games, one of the things that's funny because we're sitting here talking about potentially these could be the Cowboys' first two picks. If you look at the center position and you look at the linebackers on the four teams that finished in the conference finals this year, they all were really, really good and they've all invested there. San Francisco, Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit. They've all invested in those positions. They've all had quality players there. And I think that Cooper is a guy who it became a little bit like linebacker was the running back of defense for a little bit in terms of how people were valuing it. It feels like people are kind of coming back around and saying, no, there's some value here. You can't just throw anybody out there. And so I think Cooper, because of need, you know, lack of talent at the position at the top end, I think Cooper could get, you know, somebody could grab him back into the first.
Aisha.
For me, you know, Nick talks about the run on cornerback happening. I look at all these cornerbacks outside of Keon Mitchell, and I look at Terrion Arnold, and I like the player, but there are some things I didn't like. Wiggins, you talk about the size.
Sure.
I think that Cooper DeJean from Iowa could most definitely be someone that someone takes in the first round. This guy, when I watched him, and again, I think Keon Mitchell is fantastic. I really don't think he's that far away from being that complete corner that can do it all. He can play in zone. He can play in man. He's disciplined. He has good size. He's a strong tackler, multi-sport athlete. The guy's done it all. Very productive in his time in Iowa. We know how the rest of the league views some of these Iowa players. But this guy's just a dog, and he's consistent. And we talk about Daxon Bowers-Johnson, and just the consistency. I feel like Cooper DeJean has kind of suffered a little bit from that, is that he's so consistent that you almost forget about him. And I'm not going to let people forget about him. I think the rest of the – I think there's people that might be okay with taking him in the first round, even over like a Wiggins, just because of the size and some of those things. So that's just me. That's how I feel. Because if there's a run, it's going to have to be more than two guys. You can't have like three guys. It can't just be two guys in that first round. So
I'm very interested to see if whoever takes Cooper DeJean throws him in special team situations
as a returner.
He, because he was so fun as a
returner. And then sprinkle in that too. I mean, this is a exciting, multifaceted player. And I think teams value that. But you also get a corner that you know is going to come in right away. And you talk about the confidence. You talk about how intelligent he is. I think he could come in and hold it down. So that's my guy.
Yeah, my safety one. That's my safety.
You so petty. I think people might look at Terrion Arnold as a safety.
Oh, want to get into that?
No, I'm not going to get into it like that because we've talked about it before. I just think the length and some of the stuff he does. Yeah. I think that some people might look at him as a safety.
Boy, that guy at Detroit went from being what a kind of a corner
safety. Bryant Branch.
Boy, he played well for them. Yeah. Played in the slot too and stuff like that. Who do you got, man?
What you got?
You got a second.
So I only have 19 first round grades. So there's a lot, honestly, that will be picked in the second round, obviously. Sure. So I'm gonna kind of think outside of the box here a little bit, and not even too far outside the box. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah, I know it's a name that's been very hot.
Well, I guess I'll get to my next question.
for late in the first round. Teams like him. Teams really like what he brings to the table as far as lining up inside, lining up outside. You see his athleticism. All of the concerns that I think he had coming into the draft process from an athletic perspective, he has answered. So, for teams at least. And I think he's a guy that'll probably end up late first round, potentially. And then Darius Robinson out of Missouri, edge. He's just picking up so much steam to be a late first round pick. And I had heard that in Mobile. That was the first time I had heard that, hey, Darius Robinson's going to be a first-round pick, and I'm still standing on that. I think I'm going to stick to who told me that. So give me those two guys.
Believe that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What happened with him? Was it the
Darius
combine?
Robinson?
But yeah, I felt like people stopped talking. The media folks.
Yeah.
Us folks. I think we stopped talking about him after the combine because it wasn't super special, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he didn't stand out like that. But when you watch the tape, he's just this freaking bully.
Yeah, when you're a 280-pound edge, I don't think a combine's necessarily your best friend,
necessarily
from, like, a testing perspective. But as far as him being able to line up anywhere from 3-tech outside to 7, I think there's a lot of things he can bring to a defensive line. He's versatile. That's where you get the value in Darius Robinson.
Thank
is his versatility.
Bobby is Hicks got a shot from Washington State?
Maybe. I wouldn't think so, but I mean, it's definitely possible, I guess. I mean, Hicks, I think, is going to be the first safety for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if somebody wants to, you know, address that position back into the first, I don't think it's like a terrible reach either. Like, I really like Jaden Hicks. I don't know that the demand is going to be there. I don't know how many people are going to have Newbin over him. And I actually think the trendy thing, that's one of the areas where I think we, you know, in the media talking about it, we've been behind the NFL. I think most of the NFL has Hicks above Newbin.
Yeah.
And so that's one where, like, I think the draft Twitter social media sphere has not been in lockstep with them on that. So I think there's a good chance Hicks goes before Newbin. I just don't know if it's back into the first.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, and I think Newbin's fantastic, and he can play some free safety, some strong safety.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, too, with Jaden Hicks. And, again, it's not the time. Newbin doesn't do it, but it's just how he feels in the run game, too.
Yeah.
And with just how many teams are doing things, trying to get guys out in space and stuff, having a safety that can cover ground like that. But I also like how he operated in dime. I was surprised by just how comfortable he is covering all that ground and carrying defenders. So, yeah, with Jaden Hicks, I agree with you. It's kind of like how we look at Edrian Cooper and Peyton Wilson. It's like 1A, 1B in that situation to me as well.
Any chance that Corley gets picked in the first round?
I don't think so. I would love that, but I don't think so.
You want to start a fire?
I haven't heard a lot of smoke around that. I think when you're talking about those receivers who could go first round, it's kind of limited to Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, probably those three guys. And I think if you go beyond that, then you're still talking Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
And then maybe you start talking about Corley and Leggett. But I think those are comfortably second round guys.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's going to get googly-eyed and take Xavier Worthy just because he's super fast?
Yeah, definitely could. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, they
that's
will.
What, that's what I'm saying. Like they would be jumping on a guy like Worthy before a guy like Malachi Corley.
Okay.
All right, in the last 5 minutes we have here, this has kind of been a touchy subject for a lot of folks, but I'll ask this question.
Let's piss some people off, Brian.
Yeah. Where do you guys stand on all these potential medicals that we're dealing with? We got all these medical things that have come up about these players since the combine. We've, you know, whether it's the center, the linebacker, the running back. Where are you guys? Are you numb by it? Are you are you saying, listen, I trust my team's going to do the right thing. You know, if they take my guy, obviously cleared. I mean, I just feel like there's a lot of good players. I think there's probably more. There's players on our board that we haven't even talked about that have medical things that all of a sudden we're going to be like, okay, Nick, who's your best player? And then all of a sudden it's three guys that you're like, I don't understand why they're falling.
Yeah.
How are you guys taking all this medical information in now? And how is it affecting how you think about your board and your players?
I'm trying to keep it very circumstantial and put each guy in kind of a vacuum of what they're dealing with. But you do have to kind of factor in a guy like Graham Barton, who's been dealing with a torn labrum throughout the draft process. And that's something we just haven't talked about because we've been talking about Jackson Powers Johnson and his medicals. We've been talking about Peyton Wilson or Jonathan Brooks, et cetera, et cetera.
Latu from UCLA.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of guys, I think. Is there a little bit of numbness? I think there is maybe for media scouts, but you can best believe that if there's a pick made by any of these 32 teams, they're doing a lot of research as to what they are getting medically from that player. Okay. I think there definitely will be two or three guys we look at around like pick 30. And we're like, why are these guys falling? So
yeah.
Which could help the Cowboys. It very well could. So we'll see.
Sure. Bobby, how are you feeling about all the medical information you're starting to get?
Yeah, I think the stuff that I can that's just out there publicly on display for everybody to see. You know Latu was medically retired for his neck. You know Peyton Wilson has had a bunch of surgery since high school. Like, those sorts of things there that I can see and I can discern, it's like, that's right there on the table for me. I don't know how comfortable I feel going after that. So those are those ones. The other ones that are murkier, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, where you hear rumblings of stuff and hear things like that. I don't know how to feel about it. If the team says we're willing to take him, I'm going to trust that it is, because I have no clue. But right. Like, there's nothing that I can know about those medicals and know if they're okay or not. I didn't know, like you hear rumblings about, oh, there may be something with Leighton Vander Esch's neck when he's coming out of school. But, like, you didn't know how it was going to play out because there wasn't anything really on the record about it or anything that was out in public about it. And ultimately, that one didn't go the way they wanted. You've talked about the Jeremiah Trotter one, where he ended up playing 10 years. To me, I'm kind of neutral when I hear something about Jackson Powers Johnson or Jonathan Brooks or one of these guys where, okay, I can't know specifics about it. If the team says they're comfortable with it, I'm going to be comfortable with it. But the ones where it's like it's publicly out there, I already know a medical staff retired Latu. I already know there's been a million surgeries to Wilson all over his body, not in just one particular part. Those are the ones where I go, I don't think I'm very comfortable taking those guys.
Wow, I mean, and when you talk about center, I know how – center crazy you are.
Yeah.
Brian, your top three centers have all dealt with injuries at this point because Frazier dealt with the knee as well. So I think it depends, like Nick said, he tries to put them in a vacuum and kind of sort out, okay, what is their position? What do they do? How much depth do you need there? Whatever the case may be. I think that for me is what plays into it. Because even when we were talking about Brooks earlier, I mean, I don't like the fact that he's had an ACL, but he can recover from that. Now, if this was like 5-6 years ago, maybe I would be more concerned because the committee aspect was not what people were doing like that. You had like a guy that ran the ball a whole bunch and a couple gentlemen just fill in here and there with short yardage situations. That's not what football is right now.
Right.
These running backs are being asked to do more wide receiver things as well. And they're lining up outside and stuff. This game isn't as punishing to me from the running back position. So I might be a little bit more open. So I think it also just depends on the position, and also the specific depth on this team and what you need from that player right away. But the top three centers are all coming off injuries, man.
Sure.
Or they have issues.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thanks, my scout buddies. Thanks, Nick Harris, Bobby Belt, Aisha Morrison. Thank you guys out there for taking us in today. Another, we got draft shows all week.
Yes,
all
sir. Week. Damn
so we
right.
Got, yeah, we got a draft show tomorrow, same time, 11 a.m. Central. We will chop this up a little bit more as we get closer to the draft on Thursday night, which we'll have coverage on not only DallasCowboys.com, but also, though, on 105.3 The Fan as well. So we're working together as a team here. So we've got you completely covered. Until tomorrow, keep scouting, keep evaluating, and we'll check you guys tomorrow. Take care.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club. How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!